Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of April, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Dan O'Brien of K-State will be here with an in-depth look at the price of crude oil as it's related to the RBOB and to the futures price for ethanol. And then we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, of course, the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa will be here to update their planting conditions and progress in their regions. It's the beginning of the year and very important that you listen to these reports because they contain some really valuable nuggets of gold. For instance, the drought monitor tells you that Iowa and parts of Minnesota are fairly dry, but you'll hear something different from the statisticians. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for Tuesday afternoon. May corn futures were up a quarter of a cent today at $3.61 on a settlement price. July at $3.64.5, down one quarter. September $3.71.75, three quarters lower. And December futures at $3.82.5, down three quarters of a cent. Next year's March, $3.93.75, one half of a cent lower. Soy complex, May beans at $9.77.5, up 4.5 cents. July at $9.77.25. Forward a quarter higher. August futures 971.5 up 3, and September at 959, 2.5 cents higher. November beans, your new crop, up a penny at 953, and next year's January at 959, a half cent higher for the day. Soybean meal for the day at 318.70, up 360. Bean oil, 31.23, that finished 43 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat futures at 476.25, were up 3 on the day. Hard red in the July at 503, up 7 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures from the CME group at $161 even, were 52.5 cents higher in the April contract. Feeder cattle for the day finished the April at 216.25 cents. That's $1.12.5 higher. And the lean hogs at the May contract, $73.82.5, $1.55 higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at willag.org.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's check the outside markets. Crude oil at $56.94 a barrel, a nickel lower for the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.91.6. That's a half cent lower in the gasoline on the RBOB or wholesale price at $2.10. Seven tenths of a cent lower for the day. Natural gas at $2.52, 3 1/10 of a cent higher. And ethanol futures at $1.63, the settlement price up 2 4/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 18,019, up about 29 points. Gold futures trading in the $1,213 range at $10.25 higher. And the U.S. dollar index at 96.2. is down 0.741. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 65 degrees on a north-northeast wind at about 7 miles an hour. Tonight it will be clear with a low of 41. Those northeast winds will continue at 6 miles an hour overnight. Tomorrow, isolated showers, a thunderstorm or two after 1 in the afternoon. Otherwise, mostly sunny. A high of 68 degrees. A beautiful day to plant corn. North winds at 6 to 9. Chance of precipitation at 20%, or even maybe getting started on the beans. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy to low of 42. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 60 degrees. Thursday evening, clear and 41. Friday, sunny skies in 67. Saturday, sunny in 73. Sunday, chance of showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny otherwise, a high of 76. And on Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high of 75. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities joins us to take a look at the futures markets and to discuss how things are moving along in his area. He's located about halfway between the Indiana border and Indianapolis on the eastern side of the state, rather western side of the state of Indiana, near Crawfordsville. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time. Have producers moved very much? It didn't look like it based on the crop progress report, but maybe things are different than what has been shown there.
Well, a lot of tractor moving in the barnyards, but not out in the fields. You know, we're looking, I think, that there'll be some, the driest fields might be gone to tomorrow. But, I mean, basically, we've made very little to no progress up to this date because we've just been overly wet. But we're going to have plenty of moisture. It's a beautiful week. And if the sun's out tomorrow like it has been today and a little wind, why, I'm sure we'll see a few planters go to the field.
Yeah, it won't take long after they get started, I suppose.
No, they'll fly along and get a lot of stuff in here this week. You know, we do have, I think, a 20% chance of rain, I think, Wednesday night, Thursday, but very, very light chance, and we'll hope that that skips us and we can get some progress done. But, you know, Chicago's seen rather excited today in the bean pit, Todd. Rally appeared, they say, was related to unwinding of the corn-bean spreads, being long the corn and short the beans, but the numbers didn't add up to taking those off, so... We're not sure what happened other than just some activity in the bean pit.
Yeah, so the beans were up for a good portion of the day, but they didn't settle nearly as high as they had started today, and we're still waiting, I guess, to find out why, huh?
Well, you know, they did not. They did sell off the end of the day. You know, we generally consider that there was over twice as many beans bought as there was corn sold, and it should be the other way around if we're unwinding corn bean spreads. So very confusing to me is looking at that. We did make a few sales of new crop beans. Was announced this morning, possibly China off the northwest coast. That helped a little bit. We did go through the 40-day moving average and brought in a little fund buying along the way on that going. But at the end of the day, they backed off you know, to less than half their gains for the day. So it's not quite inspiring. But with the weather we're having, it's sort of hard to really want to justify a rally right now.
Was the trade happy with yesterday afternoon's crop progress report?
Oh, I think it's basically what everybody was expecting. You know, we were figuring right around the numbers that come out. They are thinking that maybe if we can get out and get going, there might be a few more acres of corn planted than was estimated. And, of course, that might make up for some of the extra beans they thought were coming along when we were thinking delays. But, you know, for all in all, I think that we look for some very big progress come Monday.
Yeah, corn planting, of course, nationally at 19% behind the five-year average, which is 25% ahead of last year, of course, which was a really pretty good year. I don't think anybody's too particularly worried yet about that market at this point, at least in terms of whether we'll be late or not. Anything in the outside markets that you are keeping an eye on today, this week, that we need to be aware of?
Well, of course, you know, there's the Fed meeting, but not looking for any rate hikes coming out of this one. The dollar down today on the one thing. There was a temporary news blip that said that an American ship had been boarded by Iranians and taken to port, but it turns out that it was another ship that was not an American ship and was shot over the bow and told to get out of their waters. So not quite as serious as that could have turned out to be had that story been true. There's, you know, the talk of the VAT tax being lowered in China for coming up for this fall, which is a good thing for our beans going in there. But then we've got all sorts of reports, economic reports coming out and some earnings reports coming out, too, to sell the economy and the PMI, and we're seeing in the consumer confidence. So all of those things mount up big as far as the financial world.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Of course, that's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 26th day of April, that was Sunday, 19% of the corn crop across the nation in the 18 reporting states had been planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 25%. Here are the state statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana with updates from their regions.
This is Aaron Cosgrove for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Rain and cool weather slowed planting in Iowa. Statewide, there were 2.7 days suitable for fieldwork. Activities for the week included manure hauling, tillage, anhydrous application, and limited planting. The week saw unseasonably cool weather with the exception of far northwest Iowa, where temperatures climbed above normal on Friday. Freezes were widespread on Wednesday and Thursday mornings. On the other extreme, Friday afternoon temperatures reached 76 degrees at Hayward and Sioux City. The statewide average temperature for the week was 6.2 degrees below normal. There was light rain across northeast and east central Iowa on Monday morning and also on Tuesday over parts of southwest and south central Iowa. However, nearly all the week's rain fell between Friday morning and Saturday morning, with the greatest amounts across the southern one half of the state. The statewide average precipitation was just over half an inch, while normal for the week is just under 1 inch. Topsoil moisture levels rated 90% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 84% adequate to surplus. Statewide, 14% of the corn acreage has been planted, 4 days behind the five-year average. Farmers in central Iowa led the way with more than one quarter of their corn crop planted. Pastures continued to green up, though cool weather has slowed growth. Cattle and hog conditions were reported as good, while poultry producers were concerned with the recent outbreak of avian influenza. This is Aaron Cosgrove reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and wet across the state, with temperatures ranging from nearly 5 degrees below normal to almost 10 degrees colder than average. The overall average was 7.7 degrees colder than normal for this time of year. Average rainfall for the week was 1.2 inches, more than a quarter inch above normal. Rainfall totals range from nearly 1 inch to almost 1.5 inches of rain for the week. Soil temperatures on Sunday ranged from the low 40s in northern Illinois to the mid-50s in southern Illinois. There were only 3.7 days suitable for field work last week, but farmers used them to move forward 16 percentage points in corn planting. As of Sunday, corn planting is now 31% complete, compared to 28% 1 year ago and 37% for the five-year average. Only 1% of corn acres have emerged at this time. The winter wheat crop is beginning to head out, but only 2% of acres are reported as heading. That compares to 16% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was reported as 7% poor, 35% fair, and 58% of acres are in good or excellent condition. 78% of oats are planted compared to 72% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Despite wet conditions and cool temperatures in Minnesota, planting progress remained well ahead of last year and the five-year average during the week. With only 4.0 days suitable for field work, planting progress was near average for this week in April. Field activities for the week included applying fertilizer, spreading manure, and planting. Scattered showers and snow helped improve topsoil moisture supplies to 2% very short, 29% short, 68% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 4% very short, 35% short, 61% adequate, and 0% surplus. Minnesota's corn planting reached 38% complete. That's 18 days ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the 5-year average. A few farmers in southwest Minnesota have started to plant soybeans. While small grain seeding was at least 3 weeks ahead of average, cool soil temperatures have slowed emergence to slightly ahead of average. Barley was 58% seeded and 10% of the acreage had emerged. 70% of the oat acreage was seeded and 23% had emerged. Spring wheat was 81% planted, that's 5 weeks ahead of last year. And sugar beet planting was 85% complete, more than 3 weeks ahead of average. 41% of the expected potato acreage was planted, and that's almost 2 weeks ahead of normal. Pasture conditions rated 83% fair to excellent, and that's up 3 percentage points from the previous week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 26, 2015. A cold and rainy week hindered fieldwork and slowed planting progress this week. Average temperatures ranged from 44 to 56 degrees and from 9 degrees to 2 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.43 to 2.87 inches, with a statewide average of 1.57 inches. Winter wheat jointed was 32% complete this week, compared to 40% last year and 52% five-year average. The wheat crop is beginning to make some progress throughout the state, but remains to be far behind last year. The stands that are in poor condition have been burned off, tilled under, or kept for straw. Top dressing has been completed in most regions. Corn planted was 3% complete this week, compared to 7% last year and 26% five-year average. Few farmers were able to get cornfields planted due to the cold and rainy conditions. Many fields remain to be too saturated to get planters out, and there is some concern that the soil temperatures are not suitable for seed germination. Most of the fieldwork conducted this week was focused on working the ground and spreading fertilizer to be ready for a break in the weather to continue planting crops. Pastures have continued to green up, although some farmers are providing supplemental feed to livestock. The wet spring has hindered sufficient burn downs, which has allowed weeds to emerge and take over fields in some areas. Other activities for the week included tilling, spreading fertilizer, fixing tiling, clearing fence rows, and preparing planting equipment. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 26, 2015. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks go to the National Agricultural Statistics Service for providing the state statisticians with their weekly updates of crop progress in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan O'Brien from K-State Extension now joins us to take up the agricultural energies. He does that once a month. Dan, thanks so much for being with us today. Let's start with the price of crude oil. We have a really wide trading range that we've heard about from many people in the marketplace. I suppose really what we want to know, do you think crude oil has any bottoming action at this point? And what might that mean at all?
Well, I think in the broader context, we here in the U.S., we've been hearing a lot of stories about drilling crews losing money, and a good number of them, I saw a headline saying half of them that will be out of business by the time we get to the end of this year. That'd be the fracking crews. Still, there's been such a tremendous increase in production that here domestically, undeniably, we're producing more. And again, ongoing issues and discussions about pipelines and all manner of transportation efficiency issues. When you look at just the charts, it is noteworthy that since the first of the year, when we reached our lows for weekly trading ranges, we got down to say 43.58 in there in January, in March about 42.41. Now, here in April, we got up to a high of 58.63. I think latest close yesterday about 56.65 thereabouts. Moving averages are trending up if you watch that type of technical indicator. And then for gasoline, our low, going from oil to gas, our low right after the first of the year was $1.23 per gallon. Now we're moving up. We've moved up to $2. That we'd seen quite a fair amount of that recovery already by the time we got into early March. But we're still. But after coming down, we've come back to that. So the gains in those two key commodities. As we're in ag, we talk about when we think about commodities, we talk about grains. Well, in the energies, we're talking about crude oil and gasoline. Have had the increase in prices there have had an effect on RBOB gasoline moving higher and have kind of pulled up along with it ethanol. So you have at least a marginal increase in ethanol prices moving to the higher side at the same time that corn prices are really struggling. And you know, by the time we bring those numbers together and see what's happened with the distillers' grains, and those prices are at least holding steady, and we're seeing a return to at least marginal profitability, I guess you'd say, in terms of what we think is happening out there in ethanol plants. Kind of looking at ethanol plants in the central part of the country, Iowa, Illinois, thereabouts, probably focused as much or more on Iowa, and looking at numbers in state there, you know, we're showing at least preliminarily about a 4 cent per gallon profit for ethanol plants, and that beats the losses of from 6 to 12 cents or so that had been happening the last 3 months. So when you at least cover costs, you live to fight another day. You know, you're not making great bull run profits, but at least keeps plants open and operating in a profitable manner.
At the same time, we have declining ethanol production and have had, I think, for a couple, 2 or 3 months at this point.
Yes, at least by the Energy Information Agency's numbers, we had gotten as high as 990 million barrels per day. Well, here, the latest numbers have declined down to about 930. So, you know, in the balance of stocks and use, et cetera, you would wonder if we're starting to make money in the ethanol plant sector, if that downward decline in barrels per day of production will actually maintain. We'll see what happens, but at least if you're and we're not cheerleaders for one segment of the industry over the other, but lower prices for corn and inputs are certainly helping the ethanol industry right now.
You talked a bit about the interesting patterns both in the ethanol futures and the gasoline futures, gasoline RBOB sharply higher, moving at a quick rate since, what, April 1 or thereabouts, ethanol moving at a less high rate. Can those be maintained, in particular as we move into the late spring and then the summer driving season, and there'll be more demand for gasoline?
Well, just seasonally, regardless of the levels of price that we'd be looking at, we would think that heading into the traveling season for people with vacations, et cetera, we'd see some support for these prices. Well, here we're looking at prices that don't have a 3 or a 4 or a 4 in front of them; they have a 2. You know, so if anything, I would think. For my part, anyway, as I look at that, I would think we'd expect as much or more of a response in terms of gasoline and ethanol demand this year from people using domestic supplies for travel, for vacations, for whatever they might be doing, just because we're at a lower price range. Again, it's not the good old days of a $1.35 gas or less, but at $2.28, it's a lot better than $3.50 or $3.70 or $4 as we've been seeing over the last several years.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time with us today.
Todd, thanks a bunch. We appreciate it.
Dan O'Brien, of course, is with K-State, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Blueberry Pie Day. Historians believe that pies can be traced back to the ancient Egyptians. Bakers to the pharaohs incorporated nuts, honey, and fruits in a bread dough, a primitive form of pastry. Drawings of this can be found etched on the tomb walls of Ramses II in the Valley of the Kings. When it comes to pie pastries, credit generally goes to Greece, where pies were made by wrapping a water flour paste around meat. In 1620, the pilgrims brought their favorite pie recipes to the New World. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Franz Karl Achard was born. A German chemist, Achard invented a process for the large-scale extraction of table sugar from beets. In 1801, he opened the first sugar beet factory in what is today Poland. After further research, he refined his process by using a suggestion from the Institute in France, indicating that fuel costs could be lowered by pressing the beets without cooking. In 1789, the most famous mutiny in history took place on the English ship Bounty against Captain William Bligh. The ship was sailing to Tahiti on an agricultural mission to bring back breadfruit trees. The hope was that the breadfruit plants would grow well in the West Indies and thus become a cheap source of food for slaves. The mutiny came with more than 1,000 breadfruit plants aboard. Those plants never made it to the West Indies. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, let's take up a couple of the areas in our region, Tennessee and Indiana, both that have had some problems getting started, putting corn in the ground. Indiana and Tennessee well behind where they normally would be at this time of year. Though we've been behind before, they'd like to roll sooner rather than later, kind of need to know whether they've started to dry out, whether they got very much from the last set of rainfall, and what kind of conditions they'll be working with this week.
Well, there's a little bit of good news and bad news. The good news is that after some cooler weather here at the end of the week, as we get into the weekend next week, as we look ahead into the first couple of weeks in May, it's going to be warmer all across that area, all across the Midwest and the Corn Belt region. But we will see some opportunities for showers and thunderstorms that will keep things moist. I don't see a big soaker coming to those areas you just mentioned, but I do see that in the next couple of weeks there will be some opportunities for showers and thunderstorms, especially in the eastern areas of Tennessee and Kentucky and into the southern and eastern areas of the Ohio Valley in particular. But I think overall the trend is going to be better for them. But at the same time, I don't see a week or two where it'll be completely dry either. I think there'll be enough activity moving through to keep things a little bit on the moist side. But kind of looks like the Goldilocks pattern, Todd, really, where conditions could be just right. The combination of warmer temperatures and off and on chances for rain could allow folks to plant, but at the same time bring the precipitation that you want early in the growing season.
So emergence could be good if they get it planted, and sounds like that'll happen. Is that the case across the Corn Belt? So as we stretch from northern Indiana through the upper two-thirds of Illinois, Iowa, lower Minnesota, off into Nebraska, and the southeastern, or rather northeastern, corner of Kansas?
Yeah, it really is looking that way. It looks like over the next couple of weeks there should be adequate precipitation in all those locations you mentioned, even some of the drier areas of the northern plains, the Dakotas, portions of Minnesota into western Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, all of those areas have got some really good chances of decent precipitation here over the next week or two. This is the pattern that we'd like to see this time of year.
Your assessment at this point of the condition of the hard red winter wheat crop as it relates to weather?
Well, it certainly has gotten a lot better. The last couple of weeks have been wet over those red winter wheat areas, and the prospects for more precipitation is looking very good.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to hear him or any of our programming, again, you can do that on our website. The address there is WILLAG.org. Since you're in the field, let me give you a little hint about ways to go about listening to our programs. You probably have a tractor or a truck that has a Bluetooth radio in it. If you have an Android or an iOS, an Apple phone, you're likely to be able to connect that directly to that Bluetooth radio. Radio, and you can play our programming from the website through your radio. Just look for WILLAG.org, connect the two together, and you can listen to the programming anytime you'd like at your convenience. You can even back it up and listen to something again if you'd like. It's all the great service that you get from WILLAG.org. Thanks for listening, and have a very safe and profitable week in the field. I'm Todd Gleason.